Again, we are finishing up. Today will be our last session in the halachas of Iker and Tofel, primary and secondary foods. I have prepared for you the sheet that I committed to last week, and I will send this to you if you'd like or post it. Here we go. Here is the outline of the laws of primary, and secondary foods. As we've gone through, we discussed single entity mixtures and non-single entity foods, and then some of the things we'll finish up. So let me just very quickly run through this as a quick review as we finish this topic we've been discussing for a while, and then we'll finish. So we discussed the idea of Iker v'Tofel. Iker means primary, Tofel means secondary. The Mishnah teaches us you only make a bracha on the primary food. Two major questions we ask. First, do we have a single entity mixture in front of us? There are three ways to create a single entity mixture, three primary ways. One is if you have two different drinks, they obviously become a single food. That's the least common scenario where that happens. With the two other very common scenarios are where you bake foods together, like a quiche, a lasagna, cholent, rice with mushrooms. It becomes a single dish, but it's made up of many different types of food and is eaten as one dish. That's to exclude, as we mentioned, a roast chicken with whole potatoes, even though it's cooked together, but that's two separate foods. Here's my chicken, here are my potatoes. But when it becomes a single dish, or you take many small pieces and mix them together, like an Israeli salad, or if you have a bowl of mixed nuts or mixed fruits, you sometimes have that, and you have some pri ha'etz and pri ha'adama, you have strawberries, you have grapes, you have melon, and a pear. They're all different types of things, but in every spoonful you get a little bit of everything. What bracha do you make on that? Now, if it is a single entity, because it fits into where they're baked together or they're mixed together, you only get one bracha. Here are the three criteria. I know this was confusing. That's why I'm going over this again. Now you have it in writing in front of you. When it's a single entity food, three criteria in the following order. Number one, is there a mizonot in that food? If it has become a single food and there is a mizonot, that always becomes the primary element, even if it's not the part you like best, even if it's not the most expensive part of the food, it doesn't make a difference. The mizonot element is so chashuv, it's so important, it always dominates when it is a single entity food. So for example, pizza, even if you like cheese better, it doesn't matter, it's a mizonot, assuming you're only having one slice. We'll talk about that later. Lasagna, it doesn't matter that you like cheese. That's always going to get a mizonos. A hot dog in a blanket, a fruit Danish, always will get a mizonos. Cholent, because of the barley, always will get a mizonos. A knish, onion rings always generally have a very thick mizonot batter around the little bit of onion that's in there. So even if you like onions, but you're going to make a mizonos because of the batter is more significant, is intrinsically significant. Most cheesecakes with crust, again, we discussed last week, that because if there's a significant crust, it becomes a single entity food, and they're baked together, and therefore it gets a mizonos. Most cheesecakes, unless you unfortunately happen to be eating one of those cheesecakes with a very thin crust. And we mentioned also, we didn't mention this last week, I'll throw in another example, a fried fish. There are different ways of making fried fish or schnitzel. Sometimes it's a relatively thin batter covering, and that really most poskim hold is not significant enough to make it into a mizonos. But sometimes you go to those restaurants and you get a fried fish and it's like all batter. And there's a little bit of fish inside. So if it's a significant amount of thick southern fried chicken kind of a batter on either your chicken or your fish, you might actually have to make a mizonos, because that's already generally a mizonos type of batter. It's made out of flour and water. And if it's really thick, then it would actually dictate, since it's a single food, it becomes a mizonos. The exception to all this, as we've been mentioning, is if the mizonos is not substantial. It's just a binder. It's just to provide shape. So then, like a thin, if it's a thin quiche crust or a thin cheesecake, then you don't make the mizonos on that. Okay, so that's all category number one. I have a single entity food in front of me. If there's a mizonos there, that's the bracha. If there's no mizonos, then what's the primary food? So for example, if you have a meat stew with a little bit of peppers in there, the meat's the primary thing. Rice is primary. There are a few mushrooms thrown in. And that's subjective to why it is that you're eating it. But if there's a clear primary, that's the bracha that you make. And then the third criteria, when it's a single entity food and there's no clear primary, it becomes the majority ingredient. So in a quiche, you have spinach, you have egg, you have cheese, and there's a thin crust, so it's not really significant. It's a quiche, it's what it is. There's no primary, it's all together. What's the main ingredient? Is it the adama of the spinach, or is it the shahakol from the cheese and the egg? Whatever the primary is what you would whatever the majority is. Again, unless you're eating it because it's a spinach quiche, and that's really primary, then you'd make a hadama. If it's a little bit of everything, and the majority is a shahakal, you'd make a shakal. It all depends on if you could determine there to be a primary element to that. We discussed that in regards to sushi as also a majority ingredient, or a nut mix, or those diced fruit cups. What's the majority there? And that will determine the bracha. All of that was when we have single entity, non-single entity foods. I'm moving quickly because this is just a review. I just wanted to have the sheet, and I will post this afterwards as well, so you can keep this if you'd like. Non-single entity foods are foods that are eaten together, but they never became one. I happened to be eating them together, but I didn't bake them or cook them into one. I didn't dice them and mix them into one. I'm eating two foods together, like sandwich type combination. I put cheese or tuna on top of a cracker. I put cottage cheese and fruit together. I didn't bake. I just put them together, strawberries and cream. So how do I deal with these situations? Or solid foods mixed with liquids are also considered two separate things together. So here the rules are a little different than the single entity food, which is why we're writing them down so we can remember. When it's two foods, the rules are as follows. Number one, we discuss it when there is a mizonos and when there is no mizonos. If there's no mizonos, I mean, there's no grain, flour in there. So then if there is a clear primary, it gets the bracha. So for example, in our strawberries and cream, if it's clear, I'm eating strawberries and the cream is there, so that's that I make the bracha on the strawberries, or latkes and applesauce, cereal and milk. There's a clear primary here, even though there are two foods, but there's a clear primary. When there's a clear primary and a clear secondary, only the primary gets the bracha and not the secondary. However, if there is no clear primary food, which is often the case in this category of non-single entity foods, just because I made a sandwich, cheese and crackers, I want them both. It's not that I'm eating crackers and I want to enhance it. It's not that I'm eating cheese and I'm eating crackers and cheese. That's what I'm eating. I want both. So then you're going to need two brachos, in that, scenario. The one exception is if the mizonos are secondary. If the mizonos are secondary, then because it's too important, meaning let's say you're eating tuna fish and it's clear that's my primary food. I just want to enhance it with a little bit of cracker. So the tuna fish being the primary can't consume, pun intended, the cracker's too important because it's a mizonos. So then you'd have to make your two brachos as we discussed last week. And that is all that we did. So it's just an example of that on the top of your page here. Let's say your tuna is your primary. So if you like it with a little bit of cracker, so you're going to have to make a mizonos on the cracker also. But let's say your tuna is primary, you're eating with a little bit of a rice cake. So a rice cake doesn't have the status of mizonos. Rice is an exception. It's not really a grain. It's like a grain flour. It's its own. You make a mizonos, but it doesn't have that status. So if your tuna is primary and you're eating it on a little bit of a rice cake, but the rice cake is clearly just to enhance the tuna fish, then you'd only make the bracha on the tuna fish and not on the on the rice cake, since that is secondary. But if it's a cracker, then you have to make a mizonos on the cracker as well. Okay. That was all a very quick review. It's now all on the sheet in front of you. And let's just add a few additional halachas of the laws of Iker and Tafel. And then we will we'll move on next week, Meretz Hashem, to another topic. Okay, so here are a few miscellaneous laws of Iker and Tafel. Number one, the mechanics of it. The mechanics, I'm hoping that it's better to have the sheet in front of you than I could, on your right-hand side, you could at least get a little screen of me talking as well, whichever one you prefer. You'll let me know afterwards which way is better. The way that this whole concept works, as we've been discussing about, is that the secondary food, it's not that it doesn't need a bracha. It's just that it's covered by the bracha on the primary food. So that, using a simple Oreo cookie example, so there's a cream in the middle of my cookie. It's not that the cream doesn't need a bracha. It's that since it's secondary to the cookie, when I make a bracha on the cookie, that bracha of the mizonos on the cookie covers the cream in the middle. So too with my latke, and I put a little bit of applesauce on it. My latke is primary. That's what I'm eating. I like it with a little bit of sour cream or a little bit of applesauce. So it's not that you don't need to make a bracha on applesauce. I do. It's just that the bracha that I made on the latke covers the sour cream or the applesauce as well. Now, that creates a number of important rules in regards to making a bracha on that which is primary and secondary. Three important rules which we'll learn based on that. Number one, that is that you have to have the secondary food in mind. Since when I'm making a bracha on the cereal, it's covering the milk. When I make a bracha on the cookie, it covers the cream. I have to know that that's what I'm eating so that the primary bracha covers that food as well. Now, that's the majority of cases, but imagine you're eating a bag of carrots. You take a bag of carrots out, you sit down on the fridge, you're watching you're playing on your phone, you're watching a movie, and you're eating carrots. And after six or seven carrots, you say, you know what? I'd really like to have this with a dip. So you go back to the fridge and you take out a dip. Now, I still have a situation in which my carrot is primary and the dip is secondary, but I can't now just dip it in and eat that because I have to make a bracha on the dip. The only reason why I wouldn't make a bracha on the dip is because it was secondary to the carrot. But that's when I'm eating the carrot with the dip. I was eating plain carrots. I had no intention of eating it with the dip. So in that scenario, you would have to make a bracha on the dip because it wasn't in front of you. You didn't intend to eat it when you made a bracha on the primary food. Now, that sometimes comes into play. Again, if you were eating latkes and then later you decide you want to add something to it. Many times, you have it in mind. Like if you were at a dinner party or at an event and they're serving hors d'oeuvres and there's, you know, a big platter of cut vegetables and dips, even if the first piece you took happened to be just a plain carrot, it's all there. Obviously, you eat carrots with that's considered as if I had it in mind, and it's not something you have to worry about. If you start munching on cereal before you actually pour the milk, it doesn't matter because you're gonna eat. That's how you always eat your cereal and milk. This literally is only in a situation in which you had, clearly, as I created that scenario, you took a bag of carrots, you sat down, you started watching a film, you're eating carrots, and then later you change your mind and you say, oh, you know, I should have some peanut butter with it, I should have some chumel, whatever, some other type of dip. That second dip, if it's the same bracha as your carrots, you're fine, but if it's a different bracha, then it's not covered because you have to have it in mind at the time that you make the bracha. Very often, again, that's assumed, but that is area number one. Number two, if a person decided that he wanted to be stringent and they wanted to make a bracha on the secondary food, we would say to such a person, that's inappropriate. You're not allowed to do that. Once you have a situation where there's either a single entity dish or even if it's two foods, but there's a clear primary and secondary, then the halacha is the bracha on your primary food covers the secondary food. It's wrong to make a bracha on the secondary food. It has already had a bracha made on it. And in the same way that we're careful in general not to make what's called a bracha levatala, and an unnecessary or inappropriate bracha, here too, if a person would say, I'm eating an Oreo cookie, I like the cream so much, I want to like break it open and eat the cream a little bit on it, so I'm going to eat them both, but one bite, I want just the cream. It's wrong to make a shahakol on the cream. It's already covered on the bracha that you made on the mezonos, and you don't make a bracha on the cream. Similarly, you can't try to outsmart the system and say, I'm going to make a bracha on the cream first, and then I'll make a bracha on the mezonos. It's a one bracha food. There's a primary, there's a secondary. You make one bracha, and you do not need to make a bracha on any other food beyond that. Third example of some of the just miscellaneous laws that come up when it comes to Iker V'Tafel is leftovers. The cereal and milk is the most classic example. We'll use that as our launching pad of the discussion. A person makes a cereal and milk. So we've gone through this before. Let's just work through again just as a review. Is this a single entity or a double entity food? So it's a double entity food. Why is it a double entity food? Because it's a solid and a liquid, and they don't generally, they can't combine to be one. So it's a double entity food. But I have a very clear primary and a very clear secondary. So even within a double entity food, if I can identify the clear primary, that's the one that gets the bracha. So again, that would mean whether or not my cereal is a mizono cereal, then for sure it's the primary. But even if it's not, if it's a ha'adama, whatever other type of food it may be, so I make my bracha on my cereal, and that covers my milk. My milk is now covered. And then, as often happens, you finish the cereal, there's a little bit of milk left in the bowl. Now, if you're an unhealthy cereal eater, that milk is filled with sugar and it's geschmack. Everybody wants to drink that milk because it's the best milk. So now I want to drink the milk. And if nobody's looking, I'm just going to drink it straight up out of the bowl. Do I need to make a bracha on that milk that's left over in my bowl? I'm just drinking straight up plain milk right now. All the cereal is gone. So the answer is no, because when I made a bracha on the cereal, that covered the milk. That milk, which was secondary, was included in my bracha, and therefore I made my bracha on the cereal. It covers the milk. I can drink my milk, and I'm good. And if I then say to myself, wow, that was such good milk, I want more milk, I then pour myself a glass of milk, what do I then need to do in my glass of milk? I need to make a bracha on my milk. It's not that milk has had a bracha made on it. It's that this milk, which was secondary to my cereal, had a bracha made on it because it was covered by my cereal. And therefore, the remaining milk, even though I'm now drinking it straight out of my bowl as a glass of milk, but that was covered in my cereal. If I now pour more milk as a glass, without question, that glass would need its own bracha. This idea is true for all primary and secondary foods. So that if I have strawberry and cream, same idea. If my strawberry is my primary, and I put whipped cream all over the plate on my strawberries, and that's what I'm eating it. And then when I finish my strawberries, there's like leftover whipped cream, and I want to literally lick the whipped cream up off the plate. Do I need to make a bracha on the whipped cream, a shahakol, before licking up the plate? The answer is no, because my whipped cream was already covered by the bracha on my strawberry. If after licking up all the whipped cream on my plate, I say, ah, that was geschmack, I want more whipped cream. And then you or your kids pour more plain whipped cream on the plate and say, this was good, that would need its own bracha. That's not secondary to your strawberry. That was, you're adding that you want to eat whipped cream. Your first whipped cream was covered by the strawberry. This is already now something new. And that's how that would go in that circumstance. Last point, and then, well, any questions that are, I'm sure there are many others. Last point, let me just get back to the... back to our little screen here. The last point is the bracha achrona. So let's take our whipped cream and strawberry again. So I have I made a bracha left for me. The strawberries are primary, and I added whipped cream, and now I'm done. Well, that's an easy example, actually, because the same borei nefashos, the after bracha for the strawberry would cover my whipped cream. Let's take my cereal and milk. Let's say I'm having a mizono cereal, and I add the milk. So do I need to make an ala michya on my cereal and then a borei nefashos on the milk? Because I had both. So the answer here is the same. Just like I only needed a first bracha on the cereal and not on the milk, so the after bracha, the bracha achrona, I only need on the cereal, and that will cover the bracha achrona on the milk as well. And that is true anytime we had a situation of an ikar and a tuffel, a primary and a secondary, we make the bracha on the primary, and that covers the secondary. Therefore, just going to one of our two bracha examples. Let's say I have tuna fish on a cracker, and you say, what's primary here? And you say, they're both primary. I want tuna fish, and I want cracker. I want the substance of the cracker, and I want the nutrients of the tuna, meaning them both. So we said, the halacha is you would make two brachas, a mizonos on the cracker and a shahakol on the tuna fish. Your bracha achrona there would therefore require two. I made two brachas to begin. They were two separate foods. I'll make two brachas when I finish my ice cream sandwich. If you remember, that was another example where I have ice cream, I have a sandwich. I make two brachas. I want the ice cream, I want the sandwich. I need two brachas on that. There also, I would need to make two bracha achronas, one on the ice cream and one on the sandwich. But in a situation where there was only one bracha made, because there was a primary and a secondary, the primary would get the bracha, and that would cover the secondary in the bracha achrona as well. Okay, a couple questions. I see Abi had a question.
Yes, if for lunch I want to have a tuna sandwich on bread, and on the side, a plate of vegetables. Now, if I wash for the bread and I make a mozza, I don't have to make a bracha on the vegetables.
Correct.
But is it a problem to first make a bracha on the vegetables so I get another bracha in?
Yes, same.
And then wash for the bread.
Same issue is that that would be not a bracha levatala, that's called a bracha she'ein etzricha. It's an unnecessary bracha because since you want them both now anyway, why
get away without the bracha, but is is a bracha she'en etzricha a problem?
Yes, because that's what's called a bracha she'en etzricha. It's an unnecessary bracha because you're about to have a meal and you pulled something out which would have been covered and did it in a way specifically to have it. So we try to avoid that. We will be talking, Mirtz Hashem, next week. We'll go to bread meals. Because the way that a bread meal really works is an example of Iker V'Tafel. Bread is considered primary, and because the bread is primary, that covers all the other foods. So we'll see how that will manifest itself. It's, in some ways, it's there's what to talk about that. Yeah, Greg.
Why is an ice cream sandwich different from a quiche with a thick crust where you would make just risotto?
So it's a good question. I believe because the quiche is cooked or baked together. So the quiche, because it becomes baked together, becomes one. The ice cream sandwich is really just, they're put together. So what the poskim seem to what defines a single entity food is either the cooking baking process creates a new entity, or being finely diced and mixed together. This is an ice cream sandwich because it's two things that are put together, but it's not like the cream of an Oreo cookie, which is clearly an enhancer to the Oreo. It's clearly enhancing the cookie. An ice cream sandwich, if you polled 100 people and you said, which one is this really about? So 100 people would say both. It's about the ice cream. It's about the cookie. It just is. And therefore it never halachically gets formed into a new entity where you can say one is enhancing or subsumed under the other. That's
so in practical terms, in order to make a bracha on an ice cream sandwich, because I always make mizona, you would first have to bite off a piece of the mizona, then you'd have to take that off, and then you can make a bracha on the ice cream when you get there.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I believe is correct, yeah. I'm sure there are, I don't know if that's agreed upon by everybody, but that's my understanding of how you would do that. And again, that's different, just to distinguish between one should not do that with an Oreo cookie. The cream is considered clearly an answer. And one should not do that with pizza to pull off a little bit of cheese and make a shahakol because it gets cooked together, it's baked together, it becomes a single food and should not be separated into those two separate items. Elliot, yes, please.
Is French toast... Sorry about that. Is French toast a this week question or next week question?
French toast would be a next week question in terms of bread, and then that probably even more than next week in terms of reconstituting bread. Like there are lots of ways that we take bread and then we reprocess it, either into a salad, what do they call those things? Salad chips. And then there's like French toast. And then there's ways, there's scrambled eggs that people make out of their, like, there's a term, I'm blanking on all those terms. So that's a whole discussion. First we talk about bread, plain bread, and then there's like bread kugels, all sorts of things we do with bread where we bake it a second time. So we'll, Mirtz Hashem, get to that as well soon. Okay, everyone, 20 minutes comes and goes so quickly. It's great spending a quick afternoon session, and Mirtz Hashem will meet next week and continue. The best thing about this is if you have foods during the week that you eat, like send me like a text, like what, and that we'll discuss. That's the best way to keep this, you know, in our minds as we go along, as we continue working through the different foods and making sure that we're getting everything right, I hope, Mirtz Hashem. All right, have a wonderful day, everyone. Good to see you all.